COVID, going into the COVID inquiry. So, I mean, the first question that I've got
through one group of genocidal maniacs to another.
I suppose the thing that I think we could kick off with is, why is anybody surprised at this coming out? Like the incompetence of Boris Johnson and the government that he managed to build, like he's fucking merry men, you know. It's almost like, I don't know, like, surely Dave's new to being part of Rebel City, but we spent weeks and weeks and weeks.
He must be here at least a year now. Oh, I suppose he wasn't. COVID was not.
Spent weeks and weeks and weeks on Zoom sitting, talking about the incompetence, talking about the delayed response, talking about money over lives.
Yep, the ideology behind a lot of it.
Uh-huh. And to now see people sort of clutching their pearls at that coming out is almost like, you're either stupid or you're not getting the same information that I'm getting somehow.
So for me, I mean, I do get it, what you're saying, because in the testimony, particularly for guys like Cummings, when we were talking, we were a lot of times speculating. You know what I mean? We knew who these guys were. We knew who Johnson was. We knew the people he was surrounded by in Gove and Hancock and so on and so forth. And we could extrapolate based on their, you know, 13 years of incompetence to this point, that they were almost certainly making an absolute cunt of it during COVID.
Uh-huh.
You know, the PPE thing, and they got to a point in the pandemic where they lurched through one disaster to another on an almost weekly basis, and that has continued up until, like, today, where they just find new rakes to stand on an almost fucking daily basis at this point, right? But again, we were actually kind of like speculating on it. We were taking what we knew about them and the very little actual facts that we had.
Reading between the lines,
we were reading between the lines and actually using a level of brain, you know, like media literacy to be like, well, here's what they said, but here's what we think they're actually saying. I think what we've got now, especially when you listen to like the Dominic Cummings testimony, is that we were 100% right about everything that we thought about them. And that to me is a wee bit like
scary.
Is that we gave these guys no credit whatsoever for being able to like find their fucking own arses with two hands and a fucking map, and we were actually like dead on. Like Dominic Cummings sat in this inquiry, and I was actually texting yous like at whatever 11 o'clock at night after watching it, being like, fuck me, like this guy. The ball's on this fucking cunt, by the way. Like, honestly, he's walked into this room. He basically walked in and was like, I used Brexit to put myself at the centre of government, and then I surrounded myself with idiots that I could bully, including the Prime Minister. And then the pandemic hit, and nobody anywhere was prepared for it because I had put them there to facilitate my vision of Brexit, not to manage a pandemic. So, and he's like, I just basically hung it around their neck and fucked off. And you know what I mean? Like, it was staggering. Like, the actual audacity of the guy was just on a whole other level. And I was talking to you using the text up at the time, and I was like, this guy's a fucking Bond villain. So he is, like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, But it was incredible to me that to have it not just confirmed, but to be like, it's not just as bad as we thought it was. It was actually like worse.
Uh-huh.
It was even worse than we thought.
Uh-huh. Myself in a weird position with Dominic Cummings because I feel like he's a deplorable character.
He is.
His politics, like what he's done with Vote Leave, Cambridge Analytica, like I don't agree with any of it, but like you said, the balls, the absolute balls, and it's almost like he's went, you know, like, you want to see behind the curtain that what happens in Westminster and governments, like,
yeah,
here you go, you can see it all, like, and he's just went, have it all, whereas we've got a Prime Minister who's like, oh, you know, I don't have that iPhone anymore, and they're on sort of self-preservation mode. This guy's just went, I mean, it doesn't look like he's trying to preserve anything. I don't know if he cares about his career or
no, I think his career's over, like, in that respect. I think he's going to be somebody who is in the background practicing the dark arts forevermore. He'll be a consultant, nameless, you know, consultant number one from whatever company he winds up at. And you know, there was an element of he was trying to like burn the house down on the way out the door. You know, Shep had made a point, you know, I can appreciate his honesty when we were texting back and forward during the week, and I was like, his honesty is extremely selective. Like, he's been incredibly honest about what other people did to make mistakes and what other people did wrong. And then when you watch like the section of his testimony on like Barnard Castle, where he's like, I moved to Durham from London, so like Newcastle, I moved to Newcastle for London in the middle of the pandemic, my wife and child. And I told the Prime Minister about it, and then the KC who's doing it is like, well, hold on a minute, I've got a section WhatsApp between the Prime Minister and like let's say Matt Hancock or whoever the fuck it was, right? And somebody's like, why is Cummings in Durham? And Johnson's like, aye, so he's apparently moved to Durham, and he says that he told me that just as I caught COVID. And that the reason I don't remember it is because I was lost in the fever of COVID. And like Boris Johnson is basically like, this motherfucker was gaslighting me, like whilst I had COVID and fucked off. And then, you know, he's talking to me about was the drive necessary? And he's going, the drive on what day? And, you know, he was getting very pedantic about his own shit. Every time the KC asked him a question that was not about somebody else, he was always trying to reframe it and recontextualise. Well, what I think, the question I think you're asking is, and the KC's like, dude, I'm like one of the best lawyers in the country. I know what question I was asking. Now answer it. And he's going, well, actually, in this context and in that, and you're like, he was so evasive on what he did. Other than that initial statement where he came in and went, I set this up to facilitate Brexit, and the minute the pandemic happened, the whole thing just went straight in the bin. Like, that's the only bit of real, genuine honesty we got from him. The rest of it was like, Matt Hancock did this, and Theresa May did that, and Boris Johnson did this, and he's like telling tales out of school to, like, you know, grass everybody else in and hopefully buy yourself a level of cover, because he's been out of the game so far now that the press, they're not running with Dominic Cummings said headlines. They're going to be like, Boris Johnson did headlines and Boris Johnson did not headlines. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what he's feeding them. He's still feeding them the line the same way he was feeding them the line when he was in the room. You know what I mean? Like, so he is like a world-class political operative in a lot of respects. Like, he's ironically, like, I was watching him and I was just like, this guy is actually Malcolm Tucker. Like, this is, even though Alistair Campbell is actually Malcolm Tucker, you're like, there's clearly more than one of these, like, just political monsters in the process, you know what I mean, where it is about their grandiose kind of thing. And I think at one point you did say, oh, but was this guy's trauma? This guy's trauma was that his position in life never matched his opinion of himself. That's the only trauma that Dominic Cummings has ever experienced in his life, is that the rest of the world doesn't think that he's as awesome as he thinks he is. And like, that's genuinely where my opinion on him is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and these sort of, you know, conversations they had during this inquiry very much just back all that up for me, because as I say, it was everybody else did this, and actually, you know, I wasn't really that bad. I only like broke protocols and lied to a prime minister and set up the entire government to eat with my hand and then fucked off in the middle of a worldwide crisis. You know what I mean?
I would like to know more about him that isn't, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch making him likable. You know, like when I watched that, I can't remember what it's
Channel
called.
Channel 4.
Yeah, you were almost like, he's almost likable, and it's like, I don't find him likable at all. Like,
no. I love the one where they were like, so the culture you created at number 10 whilst you were there was so toxic that work could not possibly be done effectively because people were either terrified of you or not interested in cooperating with you in any way, shape or form. And he was kind of like, maybe. And like, well, actually, here is some evidence of you being a rampant misogynist to this female minister.
Uh-huh.
And he actually like stops the guy and is like, no, hold on a minute. I think that there is basically as much evidence, if not more evidence, in me being a bigger cunt to men than to women. So I don't think that it's fair to call me a misogynist because I'm basically an equal opportunity cunt to everybody.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, who the fuck goes into like a government inquiry and is like, no, I was not just a cunty woman. Yeah. I was a fucking horrible bastard to just everybody. Yeah. I was fair. You know what I mean? And his head, that is like his justification is that I was horrible to everybody. So what's the problem? You know what I mean?
He is the face of the Tory party, basically. Like what he does, what he stands for. He is like the true voice of what it actually goes on, in my opinion, behind those closed doors.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant by the honesty. It's almost like when you say about lifting the veil and seeing a bit of a crack behind the door, it's that
well, now
that
know.
I now that we now see it. But we also saw it in the messages and all that kind of thing. Yeah. They do. They see us, they see they're elitists. They see the poor and the vulnerable as just numbers on a board. Well, like they don't give a fuck.
I mean, the mental gymnastics to come to the conclusion that COVID-19 was nature's way of dealing with old people is like, as a cognitive behavioral therapist, I'm like, that is like ninja style, like to actually just
Olympic gymnast levels come, of flexibility.
Like to come to some sort of thought that makes you feel good about the fact that you've just let, you know, what ended up like tens of thousands of people die deliberately because, like, through the inquiry, we're finding out that they knew exactly what was going to happen when they put elderly into the care homes. And at the time, they were told exactly what was going to happen and they did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And that is the way that Boris Johnson, that shows you the level of delusion and narcissistic thinking that a guy like Boris Johnson can actually achieve.
Yep.
And how, like, when people are like, how could they do that? Because their thinking is so distorted that they can just be like, well, this is God's will. You know what I mean? And like,
there's one of Johnson's aides who was in after Cummings basically said that when Cummings was binned and told to go and sling his hook, that the only person that Johnson would listen to was his wife, Carrie. So like, she was basically the de facto prime minister when Cummings stepped out because he was so dependent on Cummings' direction that he couldn't think or act on his own behalf because he's a fucking idiot. Like, an actual imbecile of a human being. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
But
like,
this is what doesn't surprise
And his wife stepped in and was literally like, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you should be doing the next thing. It was like an home secret in Westminster.
The fact that Boris Johnson's an imbecile is not a secret.
No.
But the fact that his wife, who's not an elected politician, and I suppose the aides aren't elected and blah, 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 we get into that, but the fact that his wife's basically like sitting probably like while he's like in the other side of the bed, like, I don't really care. Like, can you just, what would she do here for her to be like, do this, and is wild to me.
Aye.
Absolutely fucking wild. Yep. Do you know what I mean?
And then you get to guys like Hancock who everybody in Westminster has just been beaten with a shitty stick and, you know, he clearly deserves it. It comes to his testimony. You're watching it. And yeah, one of the most, if Dominic Cummings was evasive, we need to invent a new word for what Manhattan was, because I don't think, and I think it's the section of testimony that I was like trying to watch was like 40, 45 minutes online. And I think I got to like 12 and a half minutes where I was like, I literally can't watch. This guy has made this so unwatchable by like just not answering and having any intention
of
answering any question in good faith whatsoever. I got 12 minutes in where I was like, I actually can't watch any more of this.
Uh-huh.
And then looked at other, you know, summaries and stuff afterwards and was like, well, I was right to do that because he sat there and he just blocked the whole time he was there. Never answered once. I mean, I'd be surprised if he even got his own name right. That's the extent to which he was going in there not to talk. You know what I mean? Like,
it's that kind of evasiveness that got him to the final three on fucking SAS survival.
Yeah. there's all
this is what they're going to do. We've said in other episodes they're going to use GB News and SAS and Strictly Come, whatever the fuck, and, you know, I'm a Celebrity to basically like launder their personalities in this period. That's why none of them are taking a like re-election this time around, because they know it's a futile effort. They're all going to get binned. The only ones that are staying, like the Bravermans and that, are hoping that they'll be the last man standing, you know, what's her name, Liz Truss, hanging about, hoping that when Sunak gets binned to the other side of the election, she'll be able to come back in.
New book.
Aye, so the ones that are staying because they think that they'll be the leader or a contender for leader of the Tory party once all the dust settles. And the rest of them know that that is probably the dumbest thing that you could possibly want to be right now. And they're all off rehabilitating their image. And Hancock has already been on the celebrity bullshit. Like, you're going to see it now, as you said. Rhys Mogg's got his own show, and this Shane's got their own show, and this is now, they've seen the tactic that they can spend the next 3 to 4 years rehabilitating their image with the public via these shitty celebrity-based TV shows, and then in 5 years' time, when the next election kicks off and people are unhappy with Starmer because he flip-flops on absolutely everything, they'll all be stepping back into the fray looking for re-election again. So yeah.
And Rishi Sunak's interviewing cunts while he's in seat in Parliament, so he's almost trying to, like... No questions allowed, yeah, but I'm going to do some
interviews. Prime Minister started his own fucking podcast, like, Jesus Christ, like, sitting talking to Elon Musk, and it's not even, like, he was interviewing Elon Musk, you're like,
I know.
Mate, you're the British Prime Minister, what in the name of fuck are you doing, like?
It's crazy. I watched Hancock's testimony, I watched 20 minutes of it before he's turned up, and there was so much shit that was just absolute fucking horseshit, right? But there was one thing that was, like, I was like, We spoke about this back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We said, I remember this specifically. We went, in the future, these cabinet ministers are going to rewrite history.
Yeah.
And he tried to do that. So he said, and the KC kind of enabled it. I was like, kind of like, mate, come on, wake the fuck up. They basically were like, there was no precedent for this and there was no actual plan. We only had a plan for an influenza pandemic, no, for a respiratory, I can't say that word.
Yeah.
Can you say that for me?
Respiratory.
There we go. Pandemic, right? And it's like, well, first of all, my partner, who was mental for a fucking game on her iPhone, I can't remember, was it something IO, like Virus IO or something?
Oh, there's like a pandemic game.
There was a pandemic game, and maybe about 2018, she went down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And when COVID kicked off, she was like, there's playbooks for this, by the way. She's like, that game tells this is like locking down and blah, blah, blah. So that's nonsense. The CDC and the WHO and Obama's government in America had already wrote a pandemic playbook after the back of swine flu, which was a COVID virus.
And SARS.
So nonsense, like, just not, don't believe you. But...
Trump binned it.
Trump did bin it, and we spoke about that at the time as well. But... let's not forget that what he's talking about is March 2020, when China, Italy, Germany, Spain, Ireland,
were all locked down.
So to sit there and go, we didn't have any precedent. You're right, that's true. But the sentence after that of, like, there was no plan, there was no idea of what to do. No, look, what happened was politics got involved, ideologies got involved, wants and needs of Boris got involved, or the individuals and their ideologies got involved, and their donors, and their, you know, like, the Witherspoons of the world, and the guys that own all the commercial properties that are like, get back to work, you're lazy, sitting in house doing fuck all. No, fuck you, your ideology got involved, and you wanted to bury your head in the sand, like Trump said, this will go away, in 2 weeks we won't be talking about this, it's going to be
celebrating Easter, no bother.
And it didn't go like that, so... We need to be careful that we don't let them away with rewriting the history on this, because they need to be accountable. There needs to be elements of accountability. I think that within governments and stuff, ignorance and ideologies can come into play. But the VIP lanes thing, that has been confirmed now, again, speculation, you know, like, we don't know, but this looks like this has been completely confirmed. Yeah. Now that Moan has managed to launder her money through her other businesses and get into the Caymans, they're like, oh, aye, we took 220 million of taxpayers' money for a business that had no right to fucking get it. Well, PPE companies in the UK were standing in a fucking queue waiting to speak to cabinet ministers about, we've already got it. They're like talking about, well, the full world was trying to get their hands on PPE.
We sold our PPE to China and then tried to buy it back after when it got to the UK.
It's a fucking money grab.
No, but they've, while we knew this was coming over the horizon because it was happening in China, like Matt said, they went, oh, we'll sell our PPE. We've got all these PPE in storage. We'll sell it out to the Chinese government. And then when we tried to get into the market to buy it, everybody, you know, there was like,
no, we're actually using this shit.
In America, there was states having to bid to try and get PPE over each other. But I would like to see some form of accountability for this VIP lane and for how they just basically managed to get their pals.
Fundamentally,
billions.
Do not understand how the inquiry process in the UK works.
I probably
if you look
don't
back
no, I don't.
Through the Leveson inquiry and you know, or just like, just any inquiry that comes out is that they stand in a room and a lawyer goes, "You were a dirty bastard," and they go, "Yes, I was a dirty bastard," and then everybody moves on.
Yep.
Like, you know, we had phone hacking, we had no, you know, we were listening charges to the voicemails of dead, you know, teenagers murdered, and you know, the, yeah, a couple of years later, the actual initial issue died down. Understand that the majority of the population are probably not paying attention to it anymore.
Yep.
And then they go in and they throw everything at the wall, like they've done with Cummings and Hancock and all that kind of stuff. And you have a couple of weeks in the press where they go, "Oh, for fuck's sake, this was all happening." And then
it's business as usual.
You go back to normal and everybody
the
moves
war
on.
Kicks off and they just make sure that they're following that.
Yeah,
I know to say that the two are in any way, shape, or form connected, but there is always another something. Story. There is always something else.
Aye, that's it. It's like people.
But yeah, no.
People
look at any UK inquiry that on any subject, at any time, you know, expenses, all that other shite, like, and come back to me with one that has in any way, shape, or form a meaningful result that benefits the British public. Like, aye,
we'll be seeing pigs fly.
It does not exist. It is there. We had an inquiry about this 10 years ago.
It's a part of the same system. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're trying to regulating yourself. It's like, that doesn't work.
You can't
regulate yourself, because that's what it is. It's just another branch of the government. The people who you choose to be on the committees of these inquiries are the governments that are running the inquiries upon themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't.
Aye, like Sunak sending his end ministers to this thing to testify. Like, it's like, go and take your hit. We'll all take our turn, we'll take our hat.
Yeah.
And then in 6 weeks' time, nobody will remember this even happened.
You'll have an anxiety-ridden afternoon in front of the panel, and you'll have
like 2 days of headlines, 2 days of headlines that we control, and then it'll just go away. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that is, we need to come up with something better. This week, we've had two that have just come back on like absolutely terrible endings. It's been a rough couple of weeks for the world, I think, to be honest with you.
It has. We're well over the hour now. Was there anything, and this will be like an edit point, I suppose, but was there anything about the inquiry that you wanted to?
No, I think we kind of covered the majority that I was aware of.
Just looking forward to the next bits. Looking forward to Boris and fucking a few more people at the stand. You know, Witty will probably have to take the stand.
It'll be interesting to see what the scientists thought was going on, you know, because we've seen and heard a lot for the politicians and the.
Aye.
You know, the guys in the background like Cummings, you know, practicing those dark arts. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the scientists have got to say about it, I definitely think. But again, I won't hold my breath.
Yeah, well,